Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 70 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jacob Lindberg.
Everybody that was in residence was out, and being Sunday morning, the businesses had anybody in them.
No one was injured in a fire in Beattyville yesterday.
A Boonville woman is dead following a crash on the Mountain Parkway.
Kentucky's colleges and universities will have a cap on possible tuition increases for the next 2 years.
A Moorhead woman has been appointed to the Board of Regents for KCTCS.
Rowan County's new superintendent is focused on next year's budget.
In sports, the Reds are back at home to start a series with Milwaukee.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Clear skies tonight with a low around 45 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
An apartment fire in downtown Beattyville yesterday destroyed two businesses. WYMT reports firefighters were called to the scene right after 8 a.m. after reported flames from an apartment building. Both the apartment complex and the two businesses underneath were destroyed by the time firefighters could respond. Teresa Mays is with the Beattyville Main Street program. She says the incident isn't the first time a fire has affected the downtown area.
1977, there was a devastating fire that took out a half a section almost of our main street.
Fire Chief Ben Andrews says the businesses and the apartments were empty at the time of the fire. No injuries were reported.
State police have arrested one man involved in a double murder and are looking for the second suspect. WKYT reports 40-year-old Bobby Hammonds was arrested Friday afternoon on two counts of murder. Police are still looking for Terry Hammonds, who is wanted on two counts of conspiracy to commit murder. Both men are suspects in the December murders of 35-year-old Joey Markham and 28-year-old Whitney Venable. Anyone with information regarding the whereabouts of Terry Hammonds is asked to call the Kentucky State Police Post 7 at 859-623-2404.
A Lexington man is behind bars after barricading himself inside a home last night. According to WKYT, Lexington police were called to a home on Deer Crossing Way around 8 p.m. Police say they were originally called to the scene for a domestic incident before a man barricaded himself inside the residence and claimed to have weapons. After some negotiating, the man surrendered to police with no incident. No injuries were reported.
A Boonville woman is dead following a crash on the Mountain Parkway. WYMT reports 78-year-old Udella Gabbard was driving westbound through Powell County on Friday when she swerved into the median, hit a culvert, and flipped the vehicle. She was pronounced dead at the scene. The cause of the crash remains under investigation by Kentucky State Police.
Several Boyd County inmates have been booked without mugshots. WMKY's Cody Robinson has more.
The Daily Independent reports 15 inmates from the Boyd County Detention Center did not have mugshots available on Jail Tracker. When an open records request was filed for the inmates, the jail updated the records of 13 inmates with missing mugshots. Jailer Joe Burchett says some mugshots may not initially be taken because many of the inmates are intoxicated upon the time of their arrest, and officers do not want to have to fight the inmates for a photo. Booking information for two of the inmates was denied because officials say they were never booked, although listed on Jail Tracker as inmates. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
The Council on Post-Secondary Education approved two-year tuition and mandatory fee ceilings that limit the amount public colleges and universities can charge in-state undergraduate students over the next 2 years. The council capped tuition at 6% over that time, with a 4% maximum increase allowed in any 1 year. Council President Bob King says the CPE took into consideration the cuts to funding, increased pension costs, and the increase of fixed costs to the state's public universities.
The campuses are providing in increasing proportion what we call institutional financial aid, meaning that through scholarships and discounting of tuition, the campuses have been for several years now, in aggregate, providing more financial aid to students than Pell granting from the federal government and the state grants from the lottery combined.
Campuses will submit their proposed 2018-19 tuition and fees for council review at the June 22nd meeting. Morehead State University's Board of Regents has a budget planning meeting scheduled for next Thursday.
The Board of Regents for the Kentucky Community and Technical College System is adding a Morehead woman to its roster. Governor Matt Bevin has named Dr. Wendy Fletcher, an advanced practice registered nurse with St. Clair Healthcare, to the 14-member panel. Fletcher says it's a thrill to join the KCTCS board and believes her skill set will be an asset for it.
I do have a lot of background in evidence-based practice and systematic change, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to take a look at that and help KCTCS from the board to be able to work, you know, a little bit smarter and just work a little bit harder to keep doing what they're doing.
The KCTCS system is governed by a 14-member Board of Regents. 8 of its members are appointed by the governor. 6 are elected by faculty and staff members, with the other 2 voted on by the board, by students. Fletcher's term on the board will expire July 21st, 2023.
While Child Abuse Prevention Month ends today, efforts to help victims and prevent future abuse are going strong in Kentucky. Mary Sherman reports.
The Face It movement includes dozens of organizations coordinating their resources to address child abuse and neglect. COSAR Charities leads the initiative, and President Keith Inman says the main goals include building awareness and engaging the community.
It takes us all, it takes every one of us to end this abuse. In every instance of child abuse, there was a red flag, and somebody saw something and chose not to do something.
He explains children are often too afraid to speak up, so adults should know the signs of abuse and neglect. They include, but are not limited to, bruising to the ears, neck, or torso, burns, aggression towards others, and a fear of parents or other adults. Inman notes those at highest risk of physical abuse aren't even able to talk yet, so any bruising on a baby should be of concern. Mary Sherman reporting.
Kentucky House Minority Leader Rocky Adkins says a decision on whether or not he will run for governor may be announced soon. According to Spectrum News Pure Politics, Adkins could end up facing off against Attorney General Andy Beshear, Secretary of State Allison Lundergan Grimes, and former state auditor Adam Edelin in the Democratic primary. The Morehead Democrat says he's gotten a lot of encouragement from a range of people to make a bid for the Commonwealth's highest office.
We're giving it serious consideration. I say we, my family. My family's on board. If we want to move forward, they're very much in support of me doing that, which is of the utmost importance to me, to be very honest. But that encouragement that I'm getting is not, you know, from big political figures or anybody like that. It's just on the ground, everyday, ordinary people just like me.
With rumors of behind-the-scenes discussions regarding potential Democratic gubernatorial slates, Adkins says none of these conversations have taken place with him. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Regional on Flemingsburg Road in Morehead. Rutabaker's has made-from-scratch cakes, pies, and cookies, cinnamon rolls, scones, quiche, and muffins. Daily lunch menu with a variety of sandwiches, soups, and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Wednesday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Lunch reservations and orders by phone at 606-780-4282.
As he transitions into his new role as the top official for Rowan County Schools, Assistant Superintendent John Maxey says a lot of his focus over the next several weeks will be helping to build the district's budget for the 2018-19 academic year. Maxey will work with current Superintendent Marvin Moore and the local school board in that process. He'll replace Moore on July 1st after he retires. According to Maxey, the Rowan school system is on solid footing financially, but admits that officials can't let their guards down when it comes to what actions state legislators might take next concerning funding for public education.
Because they're still making a lot of changes. They've made a lot of changes recently to the state board. They've enacted a new interim commissioner in Frankfort. And so how they'll fund and distribute the money out to the schools is still a little uncertain. So we're a little still uneasy, and we're planning conservatively with our budget as we go forward so that we're not caught by any surprises that we couldn't weather.
However, Maxey believes the Rowan School District will be able to generally fund its most important programs and avoid personnel layoffs.
Work on two intersections in Moorhead won't begin until late May. That's according to Kentucky Department of Highways District 9 spokesman Alan Blair. Improvements will include right turn lanes on Kentucky 32 at the Fraley Drive Pinecrest Plaza intersection and lane separator curbs at that location and at Kentucky 32 at West Main Street in downtown Moorhead. Blair said those intersections were found to have the highest crash rates in the city.
When you control access across a roadway, you prevent that cross-turning traffic conflict. And what you end up doing is reducing the risk of a crash. So all of our work is aimed at reducing the crashes at those intersections.
The work is part of a $393,000 state project using Federal Highway Safety Improvement Program dollars.
Bon Secours Kentucky Health System will be hosting an event tomorrow on the campus of Our Lady of Bellefonte Hospital in Russell to educate the public on the signs, symptoms, and effects of hepatitis A. Disease experts Martin Noni and Francisco Fernandez-Gonzalez will discuss how the disease is spread and how individuals can protect themselves from it. OLBH communications specialist Kevin Compton says education on the topic is important because of the recent spike in hepatitis A incidents in the state.
The main mission statement of what we're doing with our hepatitis A educational seminar is to inform the public about the disease, what their risk may be, how they can protect themselves, how the disease is spread, so that they can take the disease seriously, plan to have their vaccinations, but to not panic unnecessarily.
The free public seminar will be held tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. on the fifth floor of Bellefonte Center on the Our Lady of Bellefonte Hospital campus.
A Fleming County official insists that there's no truth to rumors that the local public pool will be closed. Recent social media posts have said Judge Executive Larry Foxworthy and Flemingsburg Mayor Martin Boyers have discussed doing just that. However, Foxworthy says that's not so, adding any decision about the pool's future would be made by the Fleming County Recreational Park Board. Foxworthy believes the rumors about the pool grew out of talks about the park's board request for additional financial help.
That's pretty much what happened. Everybody had the misconception, you know, I think that we were in favor of, well, I shouldn't say in favor, that we were going to make some changes and suggest that we close the park and the pool, and there was nothing ever like that ever talked about.
According to Foxworthy, discussions between the city, county, and the park board continue about ways more money can be raised to offset the cost of operating the facility.
The newest state veterans cemetery was dedicated last Thursday in eastern Kentucky. WMKY's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs Undersecretary for Memorial Affairs Randy Reeves joined state and local officials in the Leslie County town of Hyden to dedicate the cemetery. The National Cemetery Administration of the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs made a $6 million grant to KDVA in January of last year for construction and purchase of initial equipment. KDVA then covers the cost for maintenance and operation costs. The cemetery will expand in four phases for a total of 4,588 interment spaces by the end of Phase 4. This year marks the 20th anniversary of ensuring that all Kentucky veterans and their families obtain the benefits and services they have earned. For WMKY, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening region. Clear tonight, lows around 48 degrees. For tomorrow, sunny and highs near 79. Tomorrow night, mostly clear and a low around 58 degrees. For Wednesday, mostly sunny and highs near 82. Wednesday night, partly cloudy and lows around 62 degrees. In Flemingsburg right now, it's 70 degrees. In Lexington, 72. Ashland, 72. Winchester, 71. Inez, 73. And here in Moorhead on the campus of Moorhead State University, it's 72 degrees.
On our feature segment today, the Kraft Academy for Excellence in Science and Mathematics is winding down its third year at Moorhead State University. WMKY's Ellen Barnett has more.
First established in August of 2015, the Kraft Academy has settled in well on the campus of MSU over the past 3 years. The Academy is a dual-credit residential high school for academically exceptional Kentucky students on par with WKU's Gatton Academy. Craft Academy students live on campus, completing their last 2 years of high school while also finishing 2 years of university-level coursework. Carol Christian is the director of the Craft Academy. She says that while there are other options for obtaining dual credit in some high schools, they still often fall short when it comes to the needs of advanced thinking students.
Having been a public educator as a teacher and school administrator in Kentucky Department of Education, employee for a number of years, so many of our advanced thinking students, by the time they're a junior in high school, they've taken every high-level course possible. They're just kind of dying on the vine. They're waiting to get out. They're not challenged.
Christian says the upper-level coursework is only a small aspect of what makes the academy so valuable.
You know, let's say a kid from Carter County, be talking to a kid from Oldham County, and he says, I'm going to be a particle physicist, and he happens to be my roommate. And then I say, Jeremy, tell me, what's a particle physicist do? And so Jeremy's excited, and he's passionate about it, and he's telling me about it, and he's showing me books he's reading. And maybe I start reading one of those books. I start thinking, I want to be a particle physicist. That wouldn't have happened if I stayed at home.
Surrounded by their bright, like-minded peers, Craft Academy students are pushed to excel at their highest level, with studies based around science and mathematics supplemented with electives in arts and humanities. Students are also given opportunities to take part in project-based STEM courses that aim to develop competency in entrepreneurship and innovation, design and creativity, and civic and regional engagement. Christian says they recently took a trip to the Alltech lab in Nicholasville.
He said, anybody in here interested in neurology, neuroscience? And some kid raised their hand, and they said, we have a division looking at the research on is there a link between Alzheimer's and animal food byproducts. So see, now that kid who is in neurology, I'm suddenly being drawn into this research. And then he said, how many of you are interested in finance and you want to go in marketing and you think none of this has anything to do with you? Other kids raised their hand. And he said, we have a whole marketing division. Alltech is in 127 different countries.
Craft students are encouraged to expand their horizons and are given many opportunities to do so.
At the end of their junior year, they have an international study abroad opportunity. They can either go to China for 6 weeks, or they can go to another place. The first year, we went to Germany and Switzerland and with a study on renewable energy. The second year group went to Ireland with a study on research of animal food byproducts because Alltech's international headquarters is over there. This year, the group will be going to Italy with a focus on architectural engineering.
The class of 2020 has already been selected to start this fall, but interested Kentucky sophomores can apply to start in 2019 by visiting moreheadstate.edu/academics/craft-academy and completing the application process by August 1st. For WMKY News, I'm Ellen Barnett.
It's 4:48 and 72 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Jacob Lindberg. And we're coming to you from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moreheadstate.edu/innovation.
The Reds return home. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds are back at Great American Ballpark tonight at 7:10 to open up a series with Milwaukee. The Reds return home after winning 2 of 3 weekend games in Minnesota, giving them a 4-3 week overall. Third baseman A. Eugenio Suarez thinks 7-21 Cincinnati may finally be getting things on the right track.
We play better baseball right now. Everybody feel comfortable. Everybody try to do our job and try to win in more games. The pitcher do a really good job, bullpen working hard, and everybody put something on the field and for wins a lot of games.
Brandon Finnegan pitches tonight for the Reds against Milwaukee's Ulysses Chausin. The Morehead State baseball team is looking ahead to non-conference action tomorrow at 6:30 at Tennessee. The 27-18 Eagles have just 11 games left in the regular season, And Coach Mike McGuire says they're pushing their way through.
These are the dog days of the season. You know, when you're in your last, fourth of the season, you know, the tournament's coming up. And sometimes you can start looking ahead to the tournament and you know, what that means. And I think you got to keep grinding.
The MSU baseball team has a key OVC series coming up at home this weekend against Jacksonville State. It starts Friday evening at Allen Field. After a weekend that saw the Morehead State softball team win 3 of 4 OVC games at Jacksonville State and Tennessee Tech, the Eagles are preparing to host another conference doubleheader tomorrow. MSU will face Murray State at 1 p.m. Coach David Williams' ball club will be ending a stretch that has had it playing 6 games in 4 days, and he says he's warned his team in advance to be ready for that challenge.
There's going to be a lot of days where, you know, we're going to be asking a lot of you. And when we get the rest that we get, we need to make the most of that and take advantage of it and just stay mentally focused on what we're trying to do.
At 7-9 in the OVC, the Eagles are holding on to the league's 8th and final playoff spot. Round County's veteran softball coach is being honored tonight. District officials are officially naming the program's complex near the high school in honor of Larry Sloan, who's led the program since its inception in 1995. Sloan thinks that's a pretty special deal.
Because, you know, it's rare that they will name a complex or facility before you ever retire. That's an unusual situation. And I'm very honored by it and kind of humbled by it. And it's been a real good journey. It's been a lot of fun. And I'm tickled to death for the honor.
With 488 career wins, Sloan ranks 5th all-time in Kentucky's fast-pitch softball history. Also tonight, the field at Round County's complex will be named in honor of 2009 Kentucky Miss Softball Amber Riddle, who holds the state record with 55 career home runs. In the NBA this evening, the Boston Celtics and Philadelphia 76ers will square off in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference semifinals. Boston is already without All-Stars Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving, and lost forward Jaylen Brown in Game 7's win over Milwaukee on Saturday after he suffered a hamstring injury. Brown has been listed as doubtful for tonight's game, but head coach Brad Stevens isn't completely ruling out Brown playing.
I've not gotten any updates other than he walked in and told me he felt better this morning. I don't know what that means. I'm not the decision maker on that. So if they'll tell me if he's able to play, and then we'll go from there. He'll go through whatever he can and shoot around, and then if he can play, he'll play.
Tonight's game starts at 8 p.m. Chris Mack has landed his first commitment as the head coach at the University of Louisville. Samford grad transfer Christian Cunningham has verbally committed to the Cards. The Georgetown, Kentucky native will be eligible immediately and have 1 year of eligibility remaining. The Cincinnati Bengals are pleased with their haul during the 2018 NFL draft. In adding 6 defensive players and 5 for their offense, Coach Marvin Lewis says the Bengals added talented players with great character.
I'm really pleased with how things fell. We were able to go in and I think fill needs and yet kind of stay true to our grades and ability. And you know, so we feel good about that. And that's what you want to come out of this process.
The Bengals grabbed Ohio State center Billy Price with their first pick of the draft, took Wake Forest safety Jesse Bates in the second round, and Ohio State defensive end Sam Hubbard in the third round. Other notes from the NFL, San Francisco 49ers linebacker Reuben Foster's plea hearing was pushed back to May the 8th this morning after the Santa Clara County District Attorney's Office requested more time to review potential video evidence. Foster's ex-girlfriend has submitted a video to prosecutors to support her statement that she lied when she told authorities Foster had hit her. Also, Oakland Raiders left tackle Donald Penn is a suspect in a domestic violence case after the 35-year-old allegedly slapped his wife, poured a drink over her head, and grabbed her wrist this weekend. And the head of team security for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is investigating an online threat made against general manager Jason Lynch after a fan tweeted several angry tweets over the Bucs draft picks made this weekend. Finally, in sports, the Kentucky Derby is next Saturday, and while one trainer will be seeking his first ever win, a veteran hopes to earn his 5th. Here's Paul Miles.
82-year-old D. Wayne Lucas will saddle Bravazo on the first Saturday in May. The trainer is seeking his 5th trip to the Kentucky Derby winner's circle.
I'm at a point in my career where I'd like to get one more. Yeah, and I've got, my stock is starting to come back a little bit.
In barn 4, Louisville-based Dale Romans is conditioning 2 horses as he tries to win his first Derby.
One of the great things about living here in town is all the support I get, as I'll say every year. And everybody tell me, you know, you're going to win one. Well, so that's the worst thing. It just keeps pressure mounting. So It'd be like a relief valve. I need to get it over with.
Romans trains Derby contenders, promises fulfilled, and free drop Billy. I'm Paul Miles.
That's it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Baseball welcomes Jacksonville State May 4th, 5th, and 6th, and Western Carolina on Wednesday, May 16th. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for WMKY. U.S. stocks fell, giving up earlier gains as the telecom sector suffered a sharp pullback, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 148.04 at 24,163.15. The S&P 500 was down 21.86 at 2648.05, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 53.53 at 7066.27. The decline in the telecom sector followed news yesterday that T-Mobile agreed to buy Sprint for $26.5 billion. Some analysts are skeptical the deal will get federal approval, and shares of both stocks fell sharply in today's trading. The NASDAQ Composite was particularly weighed down by a decline in shares of Microsoft as the stock fell 2.4%. And today marked the last trading day of April, which happens to be the first positive month in three for the major indices. The Dow and S&P 500 both rose by nearly 0.3% for the month of April, while the NASDAQ closed just marginally higher. Stocks did open higher this morning, helped by a flurry of deal announcements and encouraging earnings reports. Logistics company Prologis is acquiring DCT Industrial Trust for $8.4 billion in an all-stock deal. DCT Industrial shares popped more than 11.5%. Also, Marriott Vacations, the hotel chain's timeshare business, is buying rival ILG for $4.7 billion. And shares of Endeavor jumped 13% after Marathon Petroleum agreed to acquire it for $23 billion. Also in earnings news today, McDonald's beat the street handily with their earnings report, and this sent the Dow component almost 6% higher in today's trading. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.5% to finish at $68.43 a barrel, while gold was down 0.6% at $1,315.90 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were strong, with the Stock 600 index up 0.2%. In Asia, stocks were also strong, with the Nikkei average up 0.7%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong finishing with a gain of 1.75%. Among your Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were McDonald's and Apple, while the worst performers were Verizon and Microsoft. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Endeavor and McDonald's, while the worst performers were Arconic and Marathon Petroleum. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down $2.14 at $66.16, Marathon Petroleum down $6.82 at $74.61, CSX down $0.89 at $59.39, AK Steel down $0.15 at $4.60, AEP down $0.55 at $70, and Kroger was down $0.34 to finish at $25.18. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main, next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Moorhead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream, and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday. Catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
Taking one last look at your weather forecast, tonight clear, lows around 48 degrees. For tomorrow, sunny and highs near 79. Tomorrow night, mostly clear and lows around 58 degrees. Right now, it's 72 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Cody Robinson, Arlo Barnett, Logan Pemberton, Peyton Stewart, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Tilden Johnson, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Braxton Howard. KNC's Mary Sherman, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Ellen Barnett. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and Translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jacob Lindberg and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.